77 WABC. The world is a brighter place with the Yola Nash Show.
Hey, this is Yola Nash. Welcome to the Yola Nash Show on 77 WABC Radio New York, the number one talk radio station in the country. I'm so happy to be with all of you today. Thank you for hanging out with me. And I promise we're going to have a great time because I have a fantastic show for you. And please don't forget to tell your friends about the Yola Nash Show. And thank you so much for all your fantastic messages. It always makes me so happy. Also, just to remind you, we are streaming live on WABCRadio.com, WABCRadio.com. And you can also listen to my show and other shows on your phone. Just download our WABC Radio app and you are ready to go. So please stick around. Grab your beer, grab your coffee, grab your cat, grab your dog, and let's do it. And let me introduce my incredible guests.
Listen why the world's biggest stars love talking to Yola Nash on WABC Radio, The Yola Nash Show.
I'm so excited to present my very special guest, and I have to say I've been dreaming about having him on the show, and today is the day my dream came true. He has been one of the most celebrated TV personalities in the world. He is the New York Times best-selling author. He's a master dog behaviorist with over 25 years of experience. His incredible work with dogs and his charismatic personality gain a huge admiration for him in about 120 countries around the world. Welcome to the show, the dog whisperer, Cesar Millan. Bravo.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. It's been a journey. My life has been a journey, that's for sure.
You are one of the most successful and respected experts in dog psychology and dog training. And I would love to ask you, how did you first start your work with dogs, this beautiful journey?
Well, you know, my true profession is not really working with dogs. I know I rehabilitate them, but what I train is really the human. You know, I'm a big believer that dogs born perfectly fine, and if they're raised by their parents, they will have an amazing life. The thing is, the humans choose them to bring them into their life, and we often not prepare how to raise a dog in a balanced way. When a dog comes into living in people's home, often he spends a lot of time indoor, and they don't get to walk enough, they don't get to run enough, they're not really tired when they go to sleep. And that, if you think about it, that energy will turn into something negative. That's what people call aggression. That's what people call anxiety. That's what people call fear. Mm-hmm. And so when I come to people's home, I say, well, how often the dog walks? And then they said to me, well, I walk the dog twice a day, 15 minutes. But if you think about it, 23 and a half hours, that dog is behind doors. And is that enough for the dog? And the truth is not.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love what you do and love your shows. And I have learned so much because I have a dog as well. And I had no idea how many things are so important, like, for instance, our energy or how much we walk our dogs. But you made me change myself, analyze my behavior, my actions, my reactions. It's been incredibly beneficial watching you and changing my approach to my dog. So thank you for that.
That's exactly my goal in life, you know, to help people understand that in order for the dog to change, our habits need to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to think healthy. And what is healthy? Well, your energy, you know, what kind of energy do you practice when you address something, you know? Most people don't practice calmness. Most people don't practice confidence. Most people give affection at the wrong time. Most people are excited at the wrong moment. You know, and I say there's four energies that a dog needs from us. Calm energy, our confidence, our love, and our excitement. In order for the dog to actually listen to you so you can teach him, he needs calm energy and confident state of mind.
You have achieved an incredible success. Did that success change you in any way?
Like, might change who I am? No.
Yes.
You know, the only thing I've learned, you know, that when you have things, you have to share. You know, as a Hispanic, as a Mexican man, you know, I was raised to always help the family. So the only thing that has changed is I can help more family.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still the same guy that loves dogs. I'm still the same guy that wants to share you know, knowledge, and, you know, I don't believe in blaming people as much as in making people aware. So that's that. I don't feel I have changed. I definitely, I have all the ups and downs in life, but, you know, you're not prepared for none of that. But you have to move on, you know, and that is the only way you can do it is by keeping your passion in front, you know, and making sure that you focus on other people. You know what I mean? When you focus too much on yourself, you don't move on from the downs in life. You know, even though many, many harsh things have happened, I'm loving life even more.
Mm. Your energy is incredible, and you inspire so many of us to be passionate about life and what we do. But like you've mentioned, a few years ago, you went through very dramatic events in your life. You almost died. Many people probably don't know about it. And thank God you are here and you're okay, and we all love you. And did working with dogs help you to recover from those life challenges, find yourself, find your harmony?
I have never lived one moment of my life without a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that my childhood was always great because, you know, there was always animals around. The wealth of love, how much they admire you, how much they, you know, they love you unconditionally.
Yes.
All of those basic fundamental needs that every relationship needs has always been there for me from a dog. You know, so when I went into this depression and I just felt hopeless and I just felt like a failure, you can see how the dogs come in and just give you this incredible amount of love and start licking you and in a way you can interpret as don't give up.
Yes.
You know, we love you, we need you, and you mean a lot to us. And of course, when you are open your heart to animals in that way, you can feel it. You can feel that you mean a lot to them. You feel it more when you're in a hole, you know, when you're
yes.
like, when you're about to die, that's when you see life has more meaning. That to me was an incredible moment.
I always feel like that when I'm stressed out and when I'm dealing with my challenges and I come home and my dog is so happy to see me like no one in this world. So this unconditional love is incredible. And just to let you know, my dog saved my life a few years ago. So it was one of those moments that made me stop in my life, you know, just to realize that a dog can risk his life to protect you and help you out without even thinking about it. So That's the beauty.
That's the loyalty, right? That's the loyalty. That's the unconditional love. That's, they live by the moral code, you know. The animals live by the moral code. It's to live or die,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if they're going to live, they're going to live to the fullest. If they're going to die, they're going to die with honor. Like, this is what we do.
Wow. You know? To those of you who are tuning in right now, you're listening to The Yola Nash Show, and I'm talking to the incredible Cesar Millan. Cesar, do you let your dog sleep in your bed with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a difference between invading versus inviting. So I always make sure that people understand when a dog invites himself, he can become territorial because he makes that choice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you invite the dog, it's like you inviting your guests or your family members, and you tell them where to sleep, where to sit. You see it? So we do that with humans. And so, yes, of course.
What's a guilty pleasure Cesar Millan can confess?
I love food. I mean, I love food. I love cooking. I love cooking for others. I'm not a chef type, but I would definitely give you a nice appetite, Mexican appetizers, and entertain you. And that's my guilty pleasure, you know. And, of course, you know, well-behaved dogs are welcome. Because I don't want to work when I'm cooking.
And I would love to mention that you wrote 7 books, which are extremely successful, landed on the New York Times best-selling list. And your latest release, Lessons from the Pack, Stories of the Dogs Who Changed My Life, is available right now. And it's simply incredible book where you talk about the most important dogs in your life.
Yeah, you know, I never seen in my life, never seen a dog like a student as much as I've seen him as a teacher, you know, like
mm-hmm.
I said, growing up with dogs in Mexico with my grandfather in Paloma, which was a very important dog for him. And I didn't know why in the beginning, you know, why my grandpa was so in love with this dog. And it's because it was his chattel. You know, It was him in the form of a dog.
Wow.
And they had this incredible connection, like they knew each other so well, more than my grandma knew my grandpa. When you get to see that kind of relationship, it really gives you a different perspective of life.
And you're going to New Jersey, Bergen Pack in Englewood, New Jersey. What would you like to say to your audience here?
That I love them very much, that I'm looking forward to see them again. I've been there many, many times, and it always gets packed,
yeah.
But they keep coming back. I love it because the grandmother comes, the mom comes. It's like a family adventure, you know, it's a family thing.
Mm-hmm. And to all of you, don't miss Cesar Millan Live, February 24th at 8 p.m. For tickets, go to bergenpack.org, bergenpack.org, or Ticketmaster, or call the box office 201-227-1030, 201-227-1030, and absolutely get your tickets today. Don't miss Cesar Millan. And please also visit Cesar Millan's website. There is so much valuable information there, fantastic tips. Cesarsway.com, Cesarsway.com. Cesar, thank you so much. I feel absolutely honored to have you on the show. Your beautiful and contagious spirit is just unbelievable. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your love. I appreciate it very much.
Cesar Millan, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Intimate conversations with some of the world's biggest stars. Only on the Yola Nash Show on WABC Radio. Tune in every weekend.
The gods of rock, the masters of classical. When they come together, you will believe. Welcome to Rocktopia, an epic, one-of-a-kind concert. 5 world-class vocalists, a full symphony orchestra, Queen, Journey, Mozart, Beethoven, and more in a Broadway event guaranteed to thrill your heart. Sail away to new heights in music. And for the first 3 weeks, see it with special guest Pat Monahan of Train. Rocktopia, on Broadway for 6 epic weeks only, starting March 20th. Get tickets at rocktopia.com.
Internationally award-winning documentary and film director Eric Merola, featured on The Yola Nash Show. Merola is the director of the groundbreaking documentary series Brzezinski, about a brilliant scientist who has discovered a non-toxic and gentle treatment for cancer.
1 year after starting Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, UCLA pronounced me in remission. Dr. Brzezinski saved my life.
Perhaps Dr. Brzezinski has found the medical breakthrough of the century. Certainly a wealth of empirical data hints at that possibility.
Don't miss Eric Merola's latest documentary, The God Cells, a story about a unique stem cell treatment that has the potential to change the face of medicine.
I have not had one pain episode since the end of December. First time in 18 years. I am totally pain-free and medication-free.
I'm so excited. I mean, it's so exciting. For the first time, I see the light in the end of the tunnel.
I'm Eric Merola. I love telling stories about exciting scientific innovations that have the potential to change the course of history.
For more information, go to stemcellsmovie.com or thegodcells.com and sign up to Eric Merola's mailing list to get a coupon code to watch The God Cells for free. Merola's Brzezinski, Second Opinion, and The God Cells are also available on Amazon Prime Video. Don't miss Eric Merola on The Yola Nash Show. 77 WABC, Yola Nash, the next celebrity interview.
I'm so excited to present my very, very special guest. He's one of the most celebrated radio TV personalities in the world. He's the New York Times best-selling author. He's also world-renowned theoretical physicist and professor at the City College of New York. One of the most genius minds of our time, the brilliant Dr. Michio Kaku. Welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be on the show.
I'm so, so honored to have you on the show. I know that your amazing journey with science had started in your parents' garage. Take us back for a second to that time, and please tell us the story about the particle accelerator.
Yeah, when I was 16 years old, I asked my mom permission to build an atom smasher in my mom's garage.
Right.
And she said, sure, why not? Take out the garbage. So I assembled a 2.3 million electron volt Betatron electron accelerator in the garage. I blew out every single circuit breaker in the house. And my mother kept wondering, why can't my son find a fine Japanese girlfriend? Why does he build these machines in the garage that can blow out every single circuit breaker in the house? But I can't complain. That got me a scholarship to Harvard, and I began my career as a professional physicist.
And tell us, how big was the magnetic field that you generated? Like, compare this to something so we get an idea, because we're obviously not as knowledgeable about physics.
Oh, yeah, the magnetic field was 10,000 gauss. That's 20,000 times the Earth's magnetic field. In principle, it would pull the fillings out of your teeth if you got too close to my machine. That's how powerful it was.
And just recently, humanity took a giant step towards space exploration with SpaceX rocket launch. What is so special about Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket?
We're entering a new golden age of space exploration. After 50 years, after 50 long years, we finally have a new moon rocket. The Falcon Heavy is capable of taking four astronauts, all the way to the moon. And it tested successfully just last week. So after a 50-year gap, we have a new era of space exploration, partially funded by Silicon Valley billionaires. We got this Falcon Heavy rocket, this moon rocket, for free because it was financed by a private company. NASA, of course, has its own version of a moon rocket, the SLS, which it hopes to launch next year.
So it tells me that we have quite a few rivals in this space race to Mars and to the moon, right?
That's right. And costs are dropping to the point that even India was able to, just a few years ago, launch a probe to Mars. Mm-hmm. China wants to put the Chinese flag on the moon, and so it's going to get kind of crowded up there. And so, NASA is not sitting still. It's financing its moon rocket December of next year. It hopes to go around the moon with the moon rocket. And then a few years after that, four astronauts will go to the moon after a 50-year gap. And then President Trump has said after that, it's going to be Mars.
What obstacles do we have to overcome in order to make interplanetary travel possible?
Well, the first problem is weightlessness. We see astronauts in the space station upside down waving at us from outer space, but they're only up there for a few weeks. To go to Mars, you'd have to be weightless for about 9 months for a one-way trip and 2 years for a complete round trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get there, there's no food to eat. There are no plants to grow with. There's no animals to shoot. It's just you and a desert. So you're going to have to learn how to grow crops there, and we're going to have to, like, genetically modify algae and plants so they can thrive in a cold environment like Mars so we can eat on Mars.
Right.
And then, of course, you have to have water. Now, Mars has plenty of water, but it's frozen. So if you can boil water, boil the ice to get the water out, you can extract oxygen for breathing, hydrogen for rocket fuel, and liquid water for drinking purposes. And so we have to set up mining operations to mine the ice on Mars. And so for all these reasons, we think that we're in it for the long haul. We're not going to just go to Mars, score a touchdown, and take our football and come home. We're going to go there to stay.
Unbelievable. Is there any chance that in our lifetime, the scientists will find a twin of the Earth?
Well, yes, we think that perhaps as early as next year, or perhaps 2 years from now, we may find a doppelganger, a twin of the Earth in outer space. So when you look in the night sky, you'll wonder whether or not anyone is looking back at us from our twin in outer space. So far, we have found 4,000 planets that are going around other stars. They're very big, about 20 of them. About 20 of them are a little bit bigger than the Earth, like 50%, 100% bigger than the Earth. But perhaps as early as next year, we could find a planet that's just the same size as the Earth.
And definitely space travel will require dealing with aging. Can we freeze the aging process anytime soon?
Well, believe it or not, we are now beginning to understand the aging process. We're looking at the genes that control aging. We look at the genes of old people, the genes of young people, look at the difference. And we find that the mitochondria of the cell, the powerhouse of the cell, is where most of the errors build up. That's where aging takes place. And we can now stop the clock. There's a chemical called telomerase that stops the clock from aging in a cell. Mm-hmm. But you see, this field of biogerontology didn't exist 10 years ago. And already we're beginning to find the genes that control part of the aging process.
So exciting.
Yeah, and it's happening right before our eyes.
Would you say you have found a definite proof of the existence of God? Because there are some people who believe in God and some don't and maybe never will. But I know that you also express your views about that. Could you tell us?
Well, okay, there is a blip on the internet which claims that I found some kind of proof of the existence
yes.
of God. That's not true. However, let me do say that science deals with things that are testable and reproducible and falsifiable, things that you could put in a box mm-hmm. and do an experiment with. So religion is something that you cannot put in a box. It's not something that you can measure or do experiments on demand.
Yes.
And so religion requires faith. Because, of course, faith, you accept things without having to have these elaborate proofs and things like that. And so personally, I think that we're not going to find an equation or a proof of the existence of God
mm-hmm.
because it's too difficult. However, that doesn't mean that God doesn't exist or does exist. It just shows you that there are limits to what we can measure in science.
Mm-hmm. And to those, like I mentioned, who don't believe in God and who don't believe in life after life, can science eventually give us some form of immortality, either in a digital form or biological?
That's right. See, biologically, we're now beginning to understand the genes mm-hmm. that control the aging process in animals. The Greenland shark, for example, lives to be over 400 years of age.
Wow.
We know that by looking at the eyeball of the Greenland shark, and it has layers like the layers of a tree ring.
Mm-hmm.
So by counting the layers, you can calculate how old the shark is. And these sharks are over 400 years old.
Oh, my God.
And so it does mean that there are genes. There are genes out there which make the lifespan of certain animals indefinite. Now, digital immortality, I think, would be possible in the coming years. This means digitizing all the information about your body, your credit card transactions, all your electronic data. So in the future, when you go to the library, instead of taking out a book about Winston Churchill, you will talk to him. You'll talk to a holographic image that has all the mannerisms, all the knowledge, all the expressions of Winston Churchill.
Wow.
And it means that when we have great, 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 great grandkids, they may want to recall us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're digitized, we live forever.
Wow. Fascinating. Dr. Kaku, what's the destiny of the human race? How do you see it?
Well, there's destinies in many ways of looking at it. One destiny, of course, is to eliminate poverty and disease. I'm a scientist, so we look at our destiny exploring the universe. There's a whole universe out there that you see at night. Every night when you go outside, you see this enormous universe, and yet we haven't the slightest clue
mm-hmm.
as to who's out there
exactly.
or what it's all about. So I think that's our destiny. Our destiny is to literally be among the stars.
What's the guilty pleasure of Dr. Kaku?
Well, some people some people like to gamble. Some people like to go sightseeing. I love to learn about science because ever since I was a kid, I used to read science books and to expand my horizon. There were so many things I didn't understand about medicine and biology and things. And so today, I'm a physicist. I understand the world of physics. But on the internet, I can indulge myself by reading up on genetics and reading up on geology and things. And so I'm like a kid in a toy store.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what gives me a big thrill.
And to all of our listeners, Dr. Kaku has a new book coming out on February 20th, The Future of Humanity. And today we were able only touch the surface of his absolutely fascinating book. For more information, please visit his website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. It's a beautiful website where you can find so much fascinating information and also exciting news about his book signing, February 19th on Monday at 7 p.m. at Barnes & Noble's on Upper West Side, New York. So don't miss this amazing opportunity to meet Dr. Kaku and to get his fascinating new book, The Future of Humanity. When I was reading your book, I have to read it again, I have to confess. I have to read it again because I feel like I really, really need to sink my mind deeply into all of the topics that you are putting on these pages. Fascinating book. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Been a real pleasure being on your show.
It's Yola Nash, New York.
The gods of rock, the masters of classical, when they come together, you will believe. Welcome to Rocktopia, an epic, one-of-a-kind concert. 5 world-class vocalists, a full symphony orchestra, Queen, Journey, Mozart, Beethoven, and more in a Broadway event guaranteed to thrill your heart. Sail away to new heights in music. And for the first 3 weeks, see it with special guest Pat Monahan of Train. Rocktopia, on Broadway for 6 epic weeks only, starting March 20th. Get tickets at rocktopia.com.
This is 77 WABC, the Yola Nash Show.
Now I'd love to invite you to listen to my favorite poet, Fela, a.k.a. Mano Dano. And that's M-A-H-N-O-D-A-H-N-O. She's a multi-talented poet, writer, and artist. I must emphasize that I feel so lucky that I have discovered her magical and beautiful art. It's so powerful and so unique. And to all of our listeners, if you would like to experience Fela's great poetry and her beautiful art, please go to manodano.com, manodano.com. And now I leave you with Fela and her amazingly written poetry. Listen.
"It's destiny," she said. And I thought, what does that really mean? Isn't everything destiny? I mean, when your dreams come true, you know it is destiny, for sure. When they burst apart like soap bubbles that had no future beyond a few seconds, a few moments of shimmering reflections. Yes, like that. When your dreams just blow apart and you find yourself crouched in a corner, on the floor, trying to assemble the pieces that you know belong together. Just when your dreams explode in your face and you feel God has forsaken you, when the divine appears to have exited, left your consciousness for good. Yes, right then they will say, it's destiny. And you wonder, what is that supposed to do? Make you feel like everything is in its right place? Well, the fact is that nothing is ever in the wrong place. From the very beginning, everything can just unfold the way it does. What else could it do? So don't say, it is destiny. Please, look into my eyes and let me feel your heart.
As always, so beautiful. And definitely next week, I will be happy to feature Fela again. Unfortunately, it's time to wrap up the show. And the only thing I can say now, please don't forget to tune in next week for more of the Yola Nash Show. You can listen live on Saturday, 2 a.m. and Sunday, 4 p.m. And please don't forget to check out my on-camera celebrity interviews, where celebrities are talking. The interviews can be watched on our popular video podcast on WABCRadio.com, Stage 17. Or The Yola Nash Show on my YouTube channel. And visit my website, yolanash.com. Okay, I guess we covered all the platforms. So thank you so much for being with me today. It's beautiful. Let's do it again. Till next time, stay well, be happy, love each other. I'm Yola Nash.
77 WABC. It's Yola Nash, New York.